This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, yes, we're back again for another week of fun here at the Fandom Nexus. Thank you, of course, for downloading and joining me for the fun and for listening to this podcast. Thank you for all of you who are, of course, exclusive members through Red Circle or patrons. Of course, your support means the world. And I've got some special things going on, actually, for you this week. So we are inviting our special guest, Francisco Ruiz, with us. He is creating a game, and he's still working on it. He's still got some fine-tuning, but it's coming pretty soon, and you'll find out how to get it. Basically, if you're into board games and a role-playing game, I think you're really going to enjoy this. And it's called Junkyard Juggernauts. He'll tell you about the website and all this information later. But he is one of the co-hosts of the Retro Rewind podcast, which you can hear me on in this week. This is my second time I've been on the show, and we did a review of Iron Man. Did we hate it? Did we like it? You'll only have to listen to the episode and find out. So make sure you check that out for some more fun with me. Plus, it's a fun podcast. It's really goofy, a lot of fun. So I think you'll definitely will enjoy it. So he's coming on to the show later, and you're going to have a lot of fun with him. But I've got like two different versions here on the show, because I did talk to him a little bit longer than what you're actually going to hear on the show. I probably should have hit some sort of record button before we got started. But there will be two versions of the show. Those of you who have an exclusive feed or a Patreon, there will be an extended version of the show, like an after show and a pre-show and everything of me talking to him and some different fun that you will be able to hear, of course, without ads. Those of you on the regular feed, you're going to get ads in the middle of it and, of course, before and after. But patrons will also get that full extended version. Plus, I have video that is on an exclusive level for patrons, for like a higher level of patrons on Patreon, where you will be able to see video, the video of this entire conversation. I am also going to share little bits of some video. I've got videos from a lot of different guests, and Francisco gave me the idea, like, you know, share some of like some best of, so some little bits of video that I can maybe share up on our YouTube channel. So if you follow the Fandom Nexus on YouTube, you'll be able to see little bits of video. I'll put them up as little shorts, you know, like the Instagram size stuff, and I'm probably share a little bit to Instagram. So make sure you're following me on Instagram. That's the Spider Pan. I don't really do much with TikTok, so don't worry about it there. But I thought it's a pretty good idea. I can share little bits of it, and then if you like that and you want to see all of it, you can become a full patron. And the exclusive If you're a Red Circle exclusive, I'll try to put in the show notes there. I'll try to upload this to a private setting on YouTube, and I'll share it there so you can get it privately. But only those who get the exclusive feed through Red Circle will get that, or go and our patrons on Patreon will get to look at the video because it'll be a separate thing. Now, patrons have gotten a lot better at me being able to upload video directly there. So, yes, an extended version for patrons and Red Circle with a lot of extra more fun videos available. And, of course, for the rest of you, you get to hear some ads, but you still get to have some fun with us, and you're going to enjoy it. And I want to go and we would talk about, of course, what we've been watching, what we've been playing, what I've been watching this week. And I'm not doing a regular type review, but I have a review that will come up later while I'm talking to Francisco for Godzilla Minus One. And you've probably already watched this. It is now currently on Netflix. I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters, but I was curious to check it out because I heard so many wonderful things about the film. And so it's on Netflix. I sat down and watched it with my wife. We've sat down and watched it. And I'll tell you what I thought about it after, kind of towards the end of the conversation with Francisco. But so what have I been playing this week? And of course, I've been playing the WWE 2K24 game. I've been creating myself and all that. And I think I mentioned that last week. But I wanted to go through and I didn't want to leave Kingdom Hearts in the dust. So I hopped over and played Kingdom Hearts. And I defeated Ursula, which is where I got stuck on Kingdom Hearts before. And moved past it, got into Neverland, played a lot of that. But boy, I have just had the urge to get back and play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth a bit more and try again on hard mode. So I've dove into that, and I've been going through and playing on hard mode, but due to something I saw on YouTube, I want to share some audio with you. There's a scene that I felt was out of character for Aerith, and y'all know, if you've been a fan of the show, I'm a huge fan of Aerith. She's my number one favorite video game character. I now have 7 toys here on my desk of Aerith. Well, I guess, I don't know their toys. They're kind of statue-y, but, you know, one's more of statue, and, well, there's a smaller one that I guess is still a statue, and but yeah, I have all these different toys and they're getting cozy with Spider-Man. And I had to confirm, like, wow, that's a lot of one character. But I do have more Spider-Man toys. And actually, I get it wrong when I'm talking to Francisco, but I went and shot and checked. I do have more figures of He-Man and more figures of Skeletor each individually than I do of Aerith. So she hasn't taken over everything. OK, I'm still my He-Man, Spider-Man loving self. But, you know, Aerith, of course, is one of the other top characters. And if I ever did like an ultimate crossover, I swear doing that, like, I have Aerith, He-Man, and Spider-Man all crossed over into some sort of multiverse epic fun, I'd be all down for it, right? I would be in. That would be like the best thing. Like the greatest weird fan fiction that I will never get to see it happen in real life. But anyway, so I was playing in Rebirth, and I want to share this audio with you. There's a scene where when you first go, for those of you familiar with the original game and for the remake and the Rebirth, you go to the Gold Saucer, which is, I call it, it's like Disneyland in this world. It's a big theme park thing. And you get a companion to go with, you kind of a date. And if you go there and you're with like your pal Tifa or something, you know, with Cloud and Tifa, and I'm a Khalifa person, you know, so that's Cloud and Tifa. That is the couple. I mean, we all know it. Cloud does everything for her. If you know from the original game. Okay. But anyway, but Aerith will kind of give them both a look over and then give this whole, oh, well, I don't know, maybe somebody would like to hang out with a cool person like me. And it seems really out of character, like she's overdoing this jealousy thing towards Tifa and Cloud. And it just seems out of character. And Cloud's like, well, stop it. You know, and it's like, hey, you know, there's like spies. But if you because after you've completed the game, you can choose what companion shows up where. And if you choose somebody like Barrett, who is actually busy off doing something else, if you have Barrett as your companion, that means Cloud goes around by himself. And you have a similar scene that will play out when Cloud runs into Aerith at the location where she's standing around the Gold Saucer by himself. Let's take a listen, and I wish you could see this, but I'll try to get some video up on the YouTube channel. I've got a lot of other fun video that I've been collecting here today as well. Let's take a listen to this.
Hey, let me guess. Got lonely up in the room?
No.
Look at all these happy couples. Kind of jealous. I mean, this place isn't much fun by yourself. There must be someone who'd hang out with a cool person like me.
Stop it. We're not here to make friends. All I'm saying is, anyone can put on a friendly face, including Shinra spies. They could be anywhere, waiting to pounce.
Thanks, but I'm not that naive. I know a Shinra creep when I see one.
If you say so, just stay sharp. okay?
Oh, I will. Sharp as a tack. Promise. Maybe I'll go and look for Red, see what he's up to.
Okay, so a lot of the dialogue is kind of the same when you're there with like another female character or whatever. But when you have it by himself, you kind of get it that it's that playful teasing nature she has with Cloud. It's a little, almost a little flirty, but not quite, because they're very much platonic, but they're very close. There's a loving relationship, but they're not in love with each other. Okay. Now I know there's Clarith people out there that they're shipping for them totally, but you know, I'm sorry, that's just not the way the story's been going out, but you go and enjoy it either way, right? So, but it seems where she's almost hinting, because at another time, if you have Aerith with you and you walk past the poster of Jesse, and she asks questions about Jesse, like, oh, was she Hughes a friend of yours and everything? And she says to Cloud that you're not very good at taking some hints, you know, and or reading signs, because, I mean, there's clearly Cloud and Tifa have this thing going on, and I've really kind of understood it that Aerith is trying to help Tifa and Cloud kind of get their stuff together, because Aerith kind of understands both sides of that. But and you really see along the game, Cloud opens up more to Tifa than he does even to Aerith. I mean, there's a whole thing. But while her mentioning that Cloud doesn't take hints, her kind of, well, there must be somebody that wants to hang out with me. You kind of get the idea. She's trying to get Cloud like, hey, Cloud, I'm here by myself, too. Come on, let's go do something. And that is one of the things I find is funny and weird about the game is when you run into the other characters in the Gold Saucer, you don't have the option. Would you like this character to go with you? You know, but you're already supposed to be like running around with another character. So maybe it's not appropriate, but to be a group thing, if you're supposed to be on a date or whatever. I mean, I can understand if you're with Tifa, maybe you wouldn't want to have a third wheel, I guess. I don't know. But if you're by yourself, that'd be the time like, you know what? OK, come on, let's go. You're my pal, you know. So, but I found it very, very interesting. Another thing I've been finding interesting, while I've been collecting some video, and I'm going to share some more stuff, because I was wanting to see what happens. There's a bit, those once again familiar with this world, you'll know about Loveless, the book and the play and everything. But there's this really big moment where Aerith gets to sing a song, the theme song for this game. But you get to have a very different companion go with you, and then also ride on this big Ferris wheel called the Sky Wheel with all these different characters. And so I've gotten to experience all these different characters. But I noticed when you have a companion with you that is not a female, somebody has to play this character of Rosa on stage, right? Now, those of you familiar with the original game, you're going to know what I'm talking about, where you get to, you know, have a little fun little scene playing on this on the stage play. But they've really expanded it. And you can see this whole thing on the official Neverland Gaming channel or Neverland Official Gaming channel. I always forget what I've called it. Neverland Gaming Official Channel, probably something like that. And I'm going to put up some video, but I noticed if you have a companion with you that's not going to be part of the show that could play Rosa, Aerith defaults to playing the role of Rosa. And I find that to be very interesting. And I thought I would share that. But yeah, I'm going to share. There was also a lot of fun video that I collected of what the companion characters will do, be it Barrett or Red 13 or even Kate Sith. And we will have Sind and Vincent Valentine with him. And their reactions to different things are quite fun. And I'm going to share some video up on the official gaming channel. Also, I'll share some shorts of some of the video that I get from talking to Francisco and some of the other guests that I've got video. I'm going to share some of that. I think Francisco gave me a really good idea. But anyway, that's enough of me talking. Let me just go and toss it over to me here in the studio as my conversation with. Well, heck, I'm about to introduce him anyway. So just in case you haven't heard his name enough, here's the introduction. So I hear there's this land called Galmeni, and I hope I'm saying this right. A warlord has started sacking some cities, and I guess the only hope is Francisco Ruiz. He's going to lead some people into saving us all with a bunch of juggernauts in a junkyard, and also one of the hosts of the Retro Rewind podcast. And for anyone who's been listening to the show, I've been talking about, I've appeared on their show a couple of different times. And I thought, you know what? He's had this game and it'd be kind of fun to talk about, you know, because we like games around here. So I thought, you know what? Why don't we have him come on to talk about this game and how we got started with it and a bunch of other different stuff. So everybody, please welcome Francisco. And see, I just screwed it up. Francisco Ruiz. If I don't misspeak, so it's not a regular show. My other favorite mistakes is hitting the wrong button and playing the wrong sounder, which, you know, I do it at least it once happens. A show. Yes. But if it weren't for mistakes,
I've been called
then,
much worse. So thank you for having me on, Jeremy.
Well, I have learned that you don't mind if we end up calling you Francis.
What if I do mind, but okay. I take it in stride.
Okay. We won't do that then. Anybody ever short? Because I like to shorten names, so you know the other thought would be like, what about Cisco? Did everybody just call you Cisco?
My wife has this thing where she likes to add something Cisco, whether it's silly Cisco, upset Cisco, whatever it is, she likes to add adjectives to Cisco and call me those, much to my chagrin, but she will do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I understand the multiple syllable name because really my name's supposed to be pronounced Jeremy with three syllables. Uh-huh. And for years, it's been a two syllable Jeremy. Like, no, I'm not loaded with bacteria. And then only one person gets away with calling me Jeremiah, and that's Philip, who's like my best friend since I was like seven, and now he's my pastor of all things. So it's kind of funny.
Oh, okay.
He's the only person who gets away with
pastor
that.
Pastor Jeremiah, which is interesting.
See? That's a... Now, if I find out it's David Jeremiah, then holy cow, that's awesome. Okay. So you've got kind of a retro show going on. Let's talk a little bit about the podcast. How did this get started? Because I mainly hear what you do is a lot of, you know, going, if a movie's at least 15 years old, seems to be the rule, you'll go back and get a group of people and we'll talk about a movie. So how did that get started? You just one day was thinking, you know what? We'd like to do a podcast and I love old movies.
It's I think that's a little too TLDR for it. But essentially, me and my co-host, Paul, we're old college roommates. And we've been friends since college back in 1999. That's when we met. And just became fast friends, both believers. And a lot of what we would talk about would be movies. And we would watch movies together. We really enjoyed that time. And I fast forward to about 2008. We're both out of college. We're both working. We're both still living in California, though a couple hours apart. And I end up moving up to Oregon, where I currently am. And him and I would talk less and less while that was after that happened, maybe once every 6 months or so. But whenever we would talk about movies. And so I had started another podcast in about 2011, because I was about to become a dad. So I was going to do a podcast about being a dad. That pod faded pretty quickly, but, as I imagine, you know, Jeremy, most podcasters, when they start a podcast, they always want to start another podcast about something else that interests them. So that happened to me. And so I thought about it and I talked to Paul and I thought, you know what, Paul, maybe if we were doing a podcast together, we could stay in touch better and just have something that we could regularly meet to discuss. And since we mostly talk about movies, what do you think about talking about doing a podcast about movies? So he thought that was good. And we sort of decided what type of movies, what time period. And we thought, well, if we do 15 years or older, then the library possibly is always expanding.
Yeah.
But it's still, we felt like that was a good demarcation for what's retro. And we had a couple names, but we landed on Retro Rewind Podcast. So that's how it became.
Nice. And even come up with a fun format to add a little bit of goofy comedy, which in a lot of ways is like the same joke every week. We know what's going to happen, but it's just stupid fun. Like exactly. We know you're going to have like a complete rundown of almost, but not quite the wrong movie and be totally decepted.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's like you can run the same joke.
Genesis. There's been a genesis to all that. It certainly wasn't that to begin with. Actually, we have three rating systems, classic, nostalgic, or tragic. Classic is a movie that anyone should watch now, whether or not you've seen it before. Nostalgic, it's only worth watching if you've seen it before to revisit those like good memories you have of it. But tragic is no one should see it. And but originally we had just I was very adamant that we should just have a pass or fail system, classic or second class. And so the first 30 episodes had that reign until really recently. We had a whole like story, audio drama element that essentially erased those first 30, and we redid them with the new system. So for those that are interested, you can go to retrorewindpodcast.com/story to listen to the story part of that. But if you just want the movie reviews, just ignore those.
Yeah, I think the first thing I downloaded, because I can't remember who was talking about your show, and I thought, well, let me go check it out. I think the first thing I listened, and it sounded like a Star Trek parody, and I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember getting out into the group and like, well, I think it was in the Christian podcasters group is probably where I ran into y'all first. And I was like, okay, I don't quite understand your show. Like, it's like a Star Trek parody. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, no, it's definitely the stories are like that, because the conceit of this show, how we sort of think about it, is we're on this this spaceship that can travel the timelines of movies and video games of the past. So it's a time machine, but only for movies and video games. So that's what our mission each week is to go and review a new or an old movie or video game. And so we picked up on that whole spaceship dynamic for this audio drama. So that's why, yeah, it sounds like Star Trek or Firefly or what have you.
And if you go back and listen to the Masters of the Universe episode, you'll find me being the idiot that decided, you know what? This reminds me a lot of the Imagination Station. When they activate the Imagination Station, what does that happen? Whoa! And so you'll actually will hear me in that episode. I made sure I did it. Whenever you hit the button for that sound effect, I was going, whoa! Like we were traveling back in time. I didn't do That's it right. this last time. So I was like, should I? But I couldn't.
Oh, bummer.
Well, I couldn't hear the sound effects this time. So I'm like, so I didn't know when to do it.
That's true. Yeah, because I'm still, even where we have like 300 episodes we've recorded. And even after all that, I still am fiddling with things, trying to get things better. So,
yeah.
And sometimes that happens. But
sometimes you get enough. What's that guy doing?
Well, I wanted to say thank you, Jeremy, for coming on a couple times now. Hopefully you'll come on many more times.
Oh, yes. I love old movies. In fact, I don't know if I mentioned this. I've mentioned this to my listeners. Philip and I are working on an idea because there's apparently movies that I haven't seen that he says that I need to. And he loves my expressionless face. So he wants to put a camera in my face and have me react to old movies. So okay. I already got ahead of him, and eventually we're going to discuss The Sandlot, because I finally sat and watched it, because people would look at me funny and was like, you never watched The Sandlot? And I'm like, I know I should. I just haven't gotten around to it. And even met Squints once. I was part of my internship. I went back to university kind of late in my life. And so I met the actor who played Squints as he went to a minor league baseball team that used to be called the T-Bones. Now they've renamed it the Monarchs, based off the old Kansas City Monarchs, like where Jackie Robinson used to play, that kind of thing. But he came in for a special, they had a Sandlot night, and so I got a chance to meet him, and I was trying to see if I could get him on the show, and I said, like, the embarrassing thing is, as most as I've seen about the movie is I've seen you with the lifeguard, and I'm like, that must have been a fun scene, huh?
Wow.
I was like, I'm sure a lot of my listeners would love to be able to hear from you, but I would not know what to ask you. So
exactly.
Now I totally could, but I've realized when I sat and watched it, I had seen like 70% of the movie, I just hadn't seen it all in order.
Because
it'd be on cable or whatever, and I would catch it, and I'm like, huh, this is kind of fun. I really need to watch this movie, but well, it's not the beginning. Let me just watch it a little bit, and then I move on. And so I didn't realize that I'd pretty much seen every scene, nearly every scene. I just hadn't put it all in order to get the entire story of the entire movie. So, but we've gone through, there's a lot of movies, and I don't know how many of these you've covered, like Field of Dreams. I know I've never seen that one either. That's that thing's next on my list.
We haven't covered Field of Dreams, and I have not actually seen it. So I'm in that same boat as you, Jeremy.
And then I got a cousin. So you've never seen Lost Boys? I'm like, no, I haven't seen Lost Boys either.
Again, another one I have not seen. So there's plenty we haven't covered either. Yeah. And I totally get that.
I am resisting, though. He says I need to watch Old Yeller. I'm like, I know the dog. They have to shoot the dog at the end. I don't think I want to watch that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's not watch something depressing. I'd
rather watch Cujo.
Not really. I don't do a lot of like modern horror movies or Stephen King so much. So not really my thing. Yeah. But weird thing is, I'll play the heck out of a Resident Evil game, though. But I guess the difference is in Resident Evil, I get to fight back. Watching a horror movie, it's like, I can't stop them from being stupid.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Though sometimes a game will box you into making a decision that, why would anyone make this decision? It doesn't make sense. But I get that you do have more agency in that.
Yeah, it's more fun because I feel like you can throw like in a horror thing, you can throw like the greatest evil at me. But as long as I can fight the evil, I'm in, you know.
OK, nice. Yeah.
Although I did manage to have a lot of fun with the one game I couldn't fight back, Alien Isolation. Couldn't fight back for most of the game, but had a great time playing hide and seek with something like that. That was just kind of fun. So
I started playing that and I definitely enjoyed it and watched a lot of my brother play it. I have three younger brothers and he streams on Twitch, one of them. And so I watched him play quite a bit of it and it looked like a very fun game. I didn't get very far in it, but it was fun for what I played of it.
Yeah, it's definitely more fun when you put it on easy. That way you can. Oh my gosh. You're allowed to make a noise and the controller doesn't pick up the sound. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's funny.
Because I was like, okay, I would like to survive a little. And anybody, you can actually watch this if you go to the Neverland official gaming channel. I have a thing I call Scare Play. I like to do in October where I play some scary games. And that was one of the games I played, I think, during COVID. I had to keep myself occupied. We were discussing Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's actually how I got through COVID, was having that game to sit and play with. That game really helped. So it became a very special game to me. Like, and so that made me go back and play the original. So there are games that become very special to us. See where I might be going with this. And there's a game that seems to be very special to you. And I mean, I've never met anybody that created an entire card game / board game that I don't know if you're going like a trading card with, because there's all these different cards, or if it's just something. I mean, how does this? I mean, granted, I have talked to some people who've done some indie games. There was a feller who was making a Masters Universe game to look like a classic style Atari / Nintendo game that was really cool.
Oh, cool.
Game development is always kind of fun, but I'm making a board game. But then, of course, now there's been other times I watched. I was watching actually a little bit yesterday before I had to go and run off and do something. You've got this where you've got like a tabletop simulator where you actually are bringing people in to show them the game and kind of play with them and teach them the game. So
exactly.
This has been a whole effort for you.
Yeah. So I'll sort of start from the beginning with that. So back in 1981, I was born and I was raised. No, okay, I'm not going to go that back that far.
I beat you by 4 years. I'm old. Okay.
Yeah. So 77 then?
77. Born the exact day after Star Wars is released. So when I say I'm a Star Wars kid, I mean it quite literally.
Nice. My friend Paul, who I do the Retro Rewind podcast with, he's a 77 kid as well. So you guys are firmly Gen X. I always tell people I'm Gen X or Xennial, but my wife always reminds me, no, you're a millennial, Francisco. I'm like, no, I'm not. Regardless, that has nothing to do with Junkie or Juggernauts. Right. I played the standard fare of board games growing up, Monopoly, Risk, sorry, all those. But I never really thought of myself as like a board gamer or anything, like someone who's really into the hobby of board gaming. Then come to, I don't know, a few years ago, our community group, my small group at church, the guys started playing Gloomhaven, which is a very like, it's almost like a Dungeons and Dragons light or Dungeons and Dragons on rails, I'll say, type game. Have you ever experienced Gloomhaven or know of it?
No, Jeremy? But my brain went instantly to HeroQuest.
So it's a lot more complex than HeroQuest. I've never played HeroQuest, but what I've seen of HeroQuest, it's a lot more complex than that. And a lot more depth, but I mean, yeah, same. You're heroes. You're trying to fight a big bad types or a boss or a dungeon crawler type thing. So we started playing through that. It's a whole campaign game. So you'll actually put stickers on the board, or actually the term for it is legacy games, where you'll actually like, it could be tearing cards up. It could be marking up cards, putting stickers on a board to signify how far you've gone. It's like progressing in a standard role-playing game in a role-playing video game where, you know, you save your progress. Well, so legacy games and board games are like that. So we're playing through Gloomhaven. We started in before the pandemic, I think 2018, we were playing for several years. And then the pandemic happened. We didn't really play much. But then afterward, we picked it back up. And then one of the guys said, hey, you know what? We should do a board game weekend where we can just like go to like a cabin and just play board games. And I thought that sounded great. So last September, we finally did that. And so we're playing lots of games. We played some Gloomhaven. We played a game called Too Many Bones. And people that know of board games will probably know all these games I'm mentioning. But if you're not familiar in the hobby or not in the hobby, you probably won't hear or you won't be aware of some of them. And that's okay. Regardless.
Yeah. I feel basic, but my main thing is Clue, you know. But I have multiple versions of Clue. I mean, I've got a Harry Potter Clue that's really awesome. So,
nice. That's awesome. I didn't realize there are that many. I knew of all the myriad versions of Monopoly, but I didn't realize Clue was doing a similar thing.
Don't I have some other ones? Well, I know I've got multiple versions of Monopoly because I've got like a, let's see. No, that's Life. I got Life. I got Star Wars, and I have a Haunted Mansion Life that I like to call Afterlife. Because you're actually playing as a ghost, and you get to, instead of getting, you know, a home, you get a crypt, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But I've got my versions of Clue would be like a classic style and then a more modernized version. And of course, I've got the Harry Potter one. But Monopoly, okay, nice. Yeah, Monopoly, I've got ridiculous versions. I've got a Disney one that I've never cracked out. I've got a Ninja Turtle Monopoly. I've got an Indiana Jones Monopoly, which my wife and I were just playing last weekend. And it's actually probably one of the coolest versions of Monopoly I've got, even better than Lord of the Rings Monopoly.
Okay.
So, cool. I got weird versions of Monopoly, but Clue is still, I always have more fun with Clue.
Okay.
I've got a card game that's Clue, but anyway.
Wow. I'm trying to think of any games I've played that are like Clue that are more modern take or more just sort of more, I don't know what the term for it was, but like not reskins of older games, but newer games that have more maybe dynamic or more interesting mechanics that are similar still to Clue. There's the only one that comes to mind though is one called Resistance, which you have to play with at least three people, but essentially sort of either cyberpunk or post-apocalyptic. I can't remember, but you're essentially spies trying. Oh, think of like Final Fantasy VII. You know how you're, what's Cloud and Tifa? Where are they a part of? Some rogue, or
Avalanche. You mean the group that they are?
Avalanche. Yeah. Avalanche, okay.
Yeah. Although Cloud isn't a part of Avalanche. He's a mercenary, but he kind of gets lumped in eventually, you know?
Got it. Okay. So think of yourself as Avalanche going up against Shinra. Is that
you got it.
Is that the, okay. All right. So you're trying to take out, you're going on missions to take out Shinra. But one of you is against like a mole or something. And so you're trying to figure out who it is. And so you'll go on a mission and you either play a success card, like everyone who's, on Avalanche will have only success cards, and then the mole will have a success or a failure card. And so they will play, you'll play all your cards, and then you'll like look at whether you failed the mission or not. I think if you have one fail, you fail it. But you don't know who have played that card. And sometimes the mole will play a success card. So you just, the whole mission is successful. And I think after so many missions, if you've failed enough, the mole will win. But if you figure out who it is beforehand, then the Avalanche or whoever it's a different universe, but they will win the game. So it's just an interesting social deduction game. That's the only one that I guess sort of comes close to what I think Clue is kind of like, but it's very different regardless.
Yeah. Clue, you don't know you're the killer until somebody solves it. And you're like, whoops.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're playing Board Game Weekend. I play this game called Regicide that one of the guys brought, which is it won a contest for Board Game Geek, I think, which is Board Game Geek is a big board gaming site. It's like the mecca website for all board games. They did a contest, and this was like use a standard poker deck and make a new game from it. So this one won it. It's like a short almost like role-playing game game. I've only played it once. It was impactful, but I don't remember exactly the mechanics of it. But Regicide, they now have a Regicide Legacy version, I think on Kickstarter that's coming out, which I don't know much about that. But regardless, Regicide really sparked something in me, which actually made me think of several years ago, even before this whole, all these board games and stuff. I've always wanted to make video games for the majority of my life. I went to school originally hoping to make video games, didn't pan out, but I've always tried to delve into that. And I saw a video of this one game. Let me see if I can find it. I have it saved on my Board Game Geek thing, but I can never remember the name of it. Board Game Geek. It's this game where you get all these cards and you're trying to make this big monster guy from these cards. And I guess I could share my screen probably if I find it so that everyone watching.
I was about to hit my share screen, but I was like, well, that's not going to help because I don't know what to look for, even though I pulled it up.
No. I'll share my screen. If I can find it, of course. Course, I'm like having trouble. But I thought it was on my wish list, but it's not. Fan Astro Collection. Yeah, I'm not finding it. Regardless, that's not the point. The point is, that's Board Game Geek. Yes, Board Game exactly. Geek,
yeah.
So if
which I've also, I'll show everybody this real quick there. We'll go when we get into it. But
oh, okay. Yeah, perfect. Awesome.
I got that page pulled up. We're all just set.
You got it. You're perfect, Jeremy.
I am very perfect indeed.
That's not what I meant. But sure, we'll go with that. Why not? Let's see. Maybe it's in these games that I've looked at. I swear I'm going to find it here as soon. I bet you anything, I'll find it as soon as we're done with the call. There it is. Okay. Here we go. It's called Monster Factory. And I'll share my screen real quick.
There we go. Yep.
Monster Factory. Start sharing. Okay. I don't know. Does it show? Okay. So
hopefully the video does still pick up when you're sharing too. I'm hoping everybody gets to see this and watch the video version. Which if you want to watch the video version, become a patron at patreon.com/neverlandpodcast.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it.
But I will explain in case for those listening, obviously. So you get all these little tiles that are have different monster bits, whether they're teeth or eyes and they're goofy, silly looking things. Mm-hmm. And you connect them and you're trying to make the biggest monster from all these parts. And so that sparked my imagination when I'm thinking of this video game. Oh, I wonder if you could do that with some like mech warrior, maybe. Maybe you could make like different like a different mech from different parts. So I started concepting this video game in pixel art, because I'm a big fan of pixel art. I've been doing pixel art for several years now. I comp something up and it just sort of sat on my proverbial hard drive shelf. I just didn't do anything with it. Then fast forward back to, I'm jumping all around, but fast forward back to Regicide, playing that, it sparked something in my mind to be like, oh, I could use standard poker cards in a way to configure this mech as a board game. I wonder how that would look. So I did some early concept art, I didn't do concept art because I started was listening to more board gaming content, and they said don't do art until you have your game mechanics good. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. I'm going to stop sharing for now. So I was trying to take that to heart, and I just took essentially basic art or like stock art or something, and just put on cards. I took standard poker cards, sleeved them, printed out these pretend cards that I was making, put them in the sleeve so it still had a card feel. And then I was writing the rules for what this game would look like. And I play tested with some friends in the same game group. This is in like November, December now. The original when I played Regicide, that board game weekend was in September of 2023. So I play tested a few times, and before these three times, I'm like, God, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. So I say, God, if you don't want this game to happen, please may these play tests go horribly. May no one have fun. May they be just the worst experience ever. So I can just like, cause I have enough going on in my life. I don't need to add something else to my spinning plates. So unless you really want this to happen, God, make it clear by these playtests going horribly. And so they went fine. I got good feedback. I had no playtests where it's like, yeah, this is not working. Everyone was very positive. Now, I will say that it was with people that were friends. So, but I told them on the onset, please, if you hate any part of this, please tell me. Please don't. Just let me go. Spare me. I essentially told him what I told you. I have enough on my plate. So if you think this is like not worth your time, please tell me. I didn't get any of that. So, so I was making cards. I are working on that system, playtesting a lot just on my own, trying to figure out things that would work well. And it started off not having any sort of map or anything like that. It was just the cards. Then as I play tested it more, it developed into having this whole map and board and more things to do on the map, quests, and mechanics shifted from originally you had to have control quarries to have enough magic to fuel your mech. Then it shifted to, no, you just have cards that can amplify the actions you take. And so So it morphed into essentially something where you have cards, and I'll show several of them. You have cards like these ones where there's like, there are number cards between 2 and 10 of four different elements, earth, wind, water, fire. And you combine them together. If I can find the mech guys. So there's four different torsos, and you combine the, of course I didn't get the torsos out. Where are they? Okay, here we go. So this guy is Chunk. He's sort of my signature guy that I use for promotional, and so he's going to be the main box art. So you take these cards, and you will essentially put them underneath. I know it's let it's me turn the blur on your off because this is horrible. It's horrible for video. Why is it? I'm thinking, oh, I'll blur out things so you know my camera looks good, and then it does this to me.
Yeah, which is why I'm like, you know what? I have an interesting background. I'm just not going to blur it anymore. And so I light it. Here, there we go.
There we go. So you have this. I have little sleeves that cover parts of this, but essentially you have like this, and then you have this other leg. And so the legs, when you, there's going to be this, essentially this pile of cards in this junkyard that you draw from and you're drafting from. You take two, you keep one, put one back face up, and then the next person may like that card and they'll just take the face up one, or they can take two that are face down and put it in your hand. Anyway, you end up with six cards. Four of them use in any sort of configuration you want, like, because these are both legs and arms. Ah. So you can use it as an arm. And so you could go right there, or you might want to use it as a leg. And maybe this one is the arm. And so you build out your mech, and the higher the numbers, the more powerful. There's also other ways to get bonuses, but you're essentially, you have one of these characters at the start. So this guy's Hobart. He's the wind mageneer. We have Malcolm, the earth mageneer, if it will focus. So there's four of them. There's two girls, two boys, and they're all siblings. That in the story, they're all siblings, very similar to Chronicles of Narnia, mm-hmm. Which I certainly crib themes from that because the whole, in a 3 or 4 player game, one of you will draw the warlord card, which is this guy, which is now different. A lot of these card arts have changed even from these, but this is the warlord. You will draw this card in that pile of limbs, and the warlord card is the bad guy, if that's not obvious. But you become the warlord's acolyte if you draw him, and then you are essentially on a mission to defeat the two or three other players, depending on how many players are playing. And they are going to try to defeat you, but they don't know you're the warlord until the very end. So you try to find the warlord's base in one of the cities of Galmany. I pronounce Galmany. I've heard other people like you, Jeremy, say Galmany. I'm not precious with that. People will say it how they say it. But well, it's the Francisco. George Lucas maneuver. Yeah.
George Lucas, when people would ask him how to pronounce it, it's like, however you pronounce it, that's how they say it on your planet. George Lucas had there that all go. Figured like out. It. He went on set. It's like, that's kind of brilliant.
That's good. So yeah, see, I like that.
Whatever region from your world that we're from, that's how we said it. That's how we pronounce it with our accent.
Exactly.
See?
So then that's the goal of the game is either the Mageneers defeat the Warlord or the Warlord defeats the Mageneers. And Mageneers is just a combination or a portmanteau of mage and engineer.
Right.
Mageneers.
So. And not to be confused with Imagineers.
Yeah, I got some pushback about the name because of that, but I'm like, I feel like that's different enough that I don't think people are going to get confused. And so,
yeah.
So that's
just got to watch out for Disney lawyers as all, just in case Disney's kind of mean about that. But yeah, but you did mention like, cause you had like your wind mage. So there's a wind engineer. I mean, you really got a lot of fun things you could do with that. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I have, and each one has a different power. Like the earth guy, Malcolm, he's more based on, so your limbs can get disabled throughout a course of a battle, and he can enable your limbs. He can also do some damage as defense versus Hobart, the wind mageneer. He has more like speed and having to do with his legs. Riviera, the water mageneer, has more stuff to do with potions. Potions is another element of the cards, they allow you to dispel attacks or overpower. Maybe the warlord dispelled your attack, so you want to overpower that. So there's a lot of dynamics. A lot of people, when they play the game at first time, they're like, yeah, I was sort of like, wait, a lot of it was a little overwhelming. Then when they come back the second time, I get this all the time. It's like, I don't know if you changed the game much, but I understood it more. I'm like, yeah, that's because it's the second time you've played it.
Right.
So it usually hasn't been a big change since the last time.
Yeah. And after a few games, you're going to figure out, well, this is my more preferred play style, so I'm going to choose to be this character because their abilities are going to factor in more to, I preferred this method of what this character can do. And I, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, on a video game, you when you have choices of characters or character builds, you can develop a play style. Well, this is how I kind of prefer. So I'm going to build my character up in that direction. So, I mean, you've already got a good starting basis with these different siblings.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's a good start. You kind of figure out which one you like to play. It's like, well, this fits my style better with the way I'm, you know, liking to play. So.
And you could play it that way. I mean, once it is released and it is in your home, you can, I mean, you don't have to follow the rules if you don't want to, but the way I have the rules written is that you randomly select your Mageneer.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a little different each time. But if you want to just be like, you know what? I always want to play as Saffron, the Fire Mageneer. You can do that. I mean, I'm not going to be there stopping you.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
But yeah, that's the basics of Junkyard Juggernauts.
So part of your, is the battle mainly between all you players, or do you have like certain enemies that you will battle together? And then eventually the warlord character is going to sabotage you sneakily, or what?
So there throughout the game, there's four main cities in Galmony, each having to do with one of the elements. So there's Headstone, which is earth. Headstone is the fire city. Raise Hutch is the earth city. Swift is the wind city, and Port Powers is the water city. And each of them has a little mini boss. I call him a junk golem that's enslaving the city. The warlord sort of installed. The warlord did like this multi-pronged attack. Your parents disappeared. The king and queen of Galmony, because you're the heirs to the throne. They disappear one night. You don't know what happened. And then you hear rumblings of this, like all these machines enslaving the city. Maybe there's like a warlord or something. You don't really know. You're just getting these rumors and news of the cities being enslaved. And then all these fires sort of erupt in the capital, your home. So then your tutor, who's been teaching you about merging magic with machine, this craft of mageneering, takes you and your siblings to the junkyard because he thinks, okay, well, there's old parts there from the old wars. Maybe you can cobble some together to fight these machines. They're enslaving the cities. And so that's what these mini bosses are, that you have to go and fight them. And they get more powerful the further you get. Well, it can be more powerful because their limbs, I don't know if you noticed, they have little sockets.
Yeah.
Because you will also be drawing from the pile. And sometimes you may get like a really powerful, this one's a nine. Or you may draw a two, and it's a really weak one. So it really depends on what you draw. But there is a scaler or a multiplier, as the more junk golems you've defeated, the more powerful they can innately be because there's a multiplier on whatever limbs you are drawn. So you will be attacking those before the final confrontation with the warlord. But if you are the warlord player, you're still going to be doing those things, trying to keep your identity under wraps. Mm-hmm. But even at the toward the end in that final confrontation, I have a mechanism called sacrificial atonement, where you can try to draw the because there's going to be like this guy or this gal, and then there's that warlord, which of course I've lost the card because I'm just completely disorganized. But you have the so the warlord is sort of controlling the Mageneer. And so acolyte, warlord, the warlord is controlling the acolyte. You're playing as both. But the other siblings can essentially sacrifice one of their limbs to roll some dice. And based on the results, they can draw the acolyte away. And that actually takes away an extra action that the warlord was able to play. And then the person that drew it away can use some of the abilities of the sibling. So you save the sibling and you can use some abilities, but it's at the cost of like half your life or something like that. I forget what the exact rule of it is. So it's a pretty big hit on you. So you want to be pretty sure you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to be very weakened. And so there's elements of that. And also in contrast to that, the warlord can tempt other Mageneers to be on their side. So there's all this, there's all these mechanisms for, I think, that can make for an interesting game. But it's for 1 to 4 players. You can play single player, just you against the warlord. And I think of there's beginning mode rules, essentially, which is 1 to 3 players. You can just play versus the game. And so that's a great way to learn the mechanics, because there is a lot on first play.
Yeah.
And it can be very overwhelming. So before you, because I've had people where they're the warlord in my playtest, and they're really not prepared for it. They don't understand the dynamics of like, oh, I should have been playing this whole way this whole time, and now I'm going to lose badly as the warlord because I'm not prepared.
Like, I need to undermine everybody without them knowing I'm doing it. How in the world am I going to
exactly,
do that?
Exactly. So yes, there are other things to fight. There's quests to go on, which just give you some interesting choices and can give you some advancements. Debuffs, depending on what you choose in them. It's essentially, here's a little bit of, here's some flavor text, and then here's two choices. Do you want the heroic choice or the safe choice? Usually the heroic choice is going to impact you negatively in some way, but you'll get the treasure or what have you. The safe choice, you probably won't get impacted negatively, but it may impact negatively your allies, or it may positively affect the warlord at the end. So it's like, which one of these do you want to choose? So that's what
those
are.
If you're careful, you do too much of one thing, everybody's going to like, how come you keep doing stuff that benefits the warlord?
Exactly.
Why do you do that?
Routinely, though, when I play with people, they're always saying, whenever I say anything, they'll be like, that sounds like something the warlord will say. And I'm not always the warlord. Sometimes it seems like often I am the warlord and I don't mean to be because it's random, but anyway.
Yeah. And especially if you got saw you was play testing over a computer. So I'm like, the computer's probably controlling who gets what cards a little bit there, right? You randomized.
I mean, yes and no, it is random. So I'll peek behind the curtain a little bit. With the way, I use this service called Tabletopia, which, yeah, like you said, is similar to Tabletop Simulator, though Tabletopia is free to anyone. You don't have to pay for it, whereas Tabletop Simulator, I think they may have sales or whatever, but you do have to pay for the software in order to use it. At least that's been my experience. Maybe that's changed since I got it.
It's been a long time since I got it. I was supposed to be playing D&D with some people, and it never came around, and we never did. And I'm like, well,
No.
I need a good D&D group to play with, and yeah. Because it's all changed, and I'm like, well, okay, and I've created characters. I got a guy even on the official Dungeons & Dragons website. Like, cool, I made somebody. And you don't have anybody to play with.
Oh,
I know.
Sad day,
yes.
So Tabletopia I'm using because you certainly can pay for it. And I may end up pay it for a year just so it allows for me to have different setups. I could do like a 1-player, 2-player, 3-player, 4-player setup, because right now I have it so that I have one setup that I know how to change it so that it will work for multiple different levels of people. But it'd be a lot nicer if, I want to play this game. I want to test the 1-player. Okay. I just choose that option and I play it, as opposed to having to reconfigure cars or whatever. So it's on Tabletopia, and in Tabletopia, there's that this pile of cards in the junkyard, and the Warlord is always in one spot. It's hard to tell because it's covered under other ones, but it's always in the same spot. Well, all the cards otherwise are random, so it may be a pile of, it's always supposed to be a mix because they have a randomizer for all those cards. But because the Warlord isn't part of those cards, of those random cards, it will always sort of has to be in the same spot. So I guess if you play enough, you can figure out where it's at.
So it's always going to be dealt at the same time.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes.
So depending upon if you start from your right and through your left, you'll figure out, you know, who lands on the card. It's going to land up somewhere.
Yes, exactly. So it is mostly random, but yeah, sometimes I get it. I get Warlord more often than I would like, I should say.
Maybe you just have somebody else. Here, you deal the cards.
Well, they're already dealt in Tabletopia. Oh, okay. That's the thing. They're already pre-done in a pile with random cards, except for that Warlord card always is in the same spot each time in that pile. So if you go through the pile enough times, you can learn like, oh, it's going to be about here. So
if that makes sense. It's always the fifth card down. Okay, remember that.
Yeah. Which in real life, that's not going to be the case.
It's not going to be the case.
A certain number of cards, you shuffle in the Warlord, and it's going to be, it could be at the top. I mean, you don't know, but.
And a physical copy is in the works. And of course, you've already got a physical copy you've been showing us, but you've got a crowdfunding of some sort to go to be able to mass produce this.
Apparently. Yeah. So what I'm using now is for my prototype is a service called GameCrafter, thegamecrafter.com. It's what they're kind of like a print on demand service, I guess. They're used a lot for prototyping, and because they try to do as much production in the United States as possible, which really appeals to me. It means their prices are higher, but I feel like living in the United States, I feel like it's important to support companies that try to support our country. So right. That doesn't have to be important to other people, but it's important to me. So I'm using the GameCrafter
buy local.
That's a big reason. Exactly. Buy local. So they have a crowdfunding mechanism. But they can also support if I do a Kickstarter. I can just, all of my backers, I can just put in the Excel sheet and they will print them all off and send them out. So I have it. So once I'm ready to go, this will not be a Kickstarter where it's like, well, I hope I get the product sometime. I may not get it though. You will get it. If once I've actually completed it and it's on the Kickstarter, you can be sure that you will get a printed copy. It's not going to be like, oh, a couple of years, it didn't happen. So
well, I hope we made it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm still trying to get the rules finished. The biggest step right now for me, like the last playtest I had was really good. The people that played felt like it was the most balanced it's ever been. So I think really the next stage of playtesting I have is something called blind playtesting, where I send files for print and play. I'm going to get a new printout because I have a lot of cards that have changed a lot in the last several months. So get a fresh print of everything, and then give that to people that are local to me to blind play test it, where they just play test it. I may be there and watch them, but I think that's going to reveal to me the most about what things are confusing still, where do the rules need to change to help, to help alleviate that confusion and any other issues that can crop up that I can always talk over because I know it all up here, mm-hmm. but may not be apparent to people that obviously aren't me.
You're right.
So that's the next big stage. I would love to go to Kickstarter and or the they call it crowd sale on GameCrafter by in time for Christmas, but that may not. I also don't want to rush it. I don't know if you feel about game companies, Jeremy, but I'm I was always a fan of game companies. Blizzard of old used to be like this, is like they will release the game when it is actually ready to release, right. Not beforehand, not some half-baked version.
Right.
They'll release it when it's ready. And I always respected that because that game, or even oftentimes movies, they're going to live in perpetuity. You don't get, I mean, yes, with games, you get like patches and stuff, but that could get annoying. The core game or the core movie, whatever it is, that's going to live on. So you want to make sure it's right. So we're imperfect people, so everything's going to have its flaws, but as right as you can make it. So I'm trying to have that perspective on it and not trying to rush it to be done just to meet some arbitrary deadline. So,
yeah, that way, but you've had enough time to say, oops, this card ended up being a little overpowered and I didn't mean it to be. And because you're trying to keep it balanced,
you have time to
work that out before you put it out there and say, all right, go forth and play.
Exactly. And unfortunately I don't have sometimes. So I have, this is going to sound it's not germane to the conversation, but I will circle back. I promise. So my mom, she passed away back in 99, but she had a doctorate in statistics. So I wish she was alive right now, because I bet she could come up with some like system to be like, okay, Francisco, yeah, these cards statistically will come up in this order. So your chances of having this guy be overpowered or this overpowering this character is like this. This is the probability of it. I'd be like, oh, okay, so I need to change this. But I don't have access to that, and I don't have the smarts for it. So there will likely be. Strategies, if people play this enough, there'll probably be strategies where it's like, oh, that's broken. And in that case, I'll just have to release a new rule set, some that does patch it. But this is all a solo project. Mm-hmm. I don't have anyone helping me except for I have a friend, Mike, who's very graciously been helping me some with rule edits, working on the rule book, but everything else is just me. So you're gonna get all the foibles of Francisco, unfortunately, with it.
Well, I think that happens a lot of with board games and even video games. You know, you during the development phase, you find out what works, what doesn't work, and then sometimes you get it all out there and realize, whoops. Because, you know, back in the day with the cartridge games, we'd have glitches that would show up. And now it's like, well, now it's just out there. Can't do anything about it.
Yep.
So that is one thing I kind of appreciate about modern video games is like, whoops, something's broken. It keeps crashing the game. We can fix it now. And I appreciate that. Yes. But it also encourages them too many that, oh, we want to just rush this to the market. Don't worry, we'll get a patch later. And you have something like Cyberpunk 2099 or whatever, where they just released a very, very broken game. And so a lot of times now on a video game, I'm pretty excited for this, but I think I'm going to wait.
Exactly.
Give them about 6 months to a year to make sure there's no bugs in it. But then there are some things I'm just super excited about. I'm like, no, I want it day one. But there are certain game companies I trust to get it right for the most part.
Yeah.
Day one. Square Enix being one of them. So I don't mind buying a Final Fantasy game like on release day. But those WWE games, sometimes I like to wait because those have been, the last few years, been the most broken things of all. Some of the you can go and find. I love watching video game glitch videos and seeing stuff. I've even got a really funny glitch that I recorded where like my buddy Philip, he's more of the artist than I am. He'll create characters, and he had He-Man, and I have a match where you can see He-Man literally get stuck up midair and walking around. He's walking on air before somebody managed to grab him and bring him back down to the mat. So, I mean,
that's funny.
Throughout the years, WWE games, because they rush one out every year, are so glitchy and they never seem to fix some of the things. Mm-hmm. And every time they come up with a new mechanic to make it seem like you're, you know, an actual match, a wrestling match. And there's something new even that they did this year. And I have not enjoyed it, but I appreciate that they tried it, because I don't know how much wrestling you've ever watched in your life. But
not very much. It's never interested me for some reason, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, typically in a match, you might get a thing where you're trading hits. And if it's like late in the match, you know, it might be, oh, we're a little tired. So it's like, wait, well, this person hits and the other person hits them. And it's just kind of back and forth. And that's where the crowd for the baby face will, yay. And then the heel will hit him back and we'll go, oh, so it's crowd participation. So it happens, you know, it's a common enough thing that the closest thing we've had previously in video games is the fact if you manage to kind of trade back hits back and forth a little bit, it kind of happens, you know, but generally they've started more of a combo system over the last few years. And so if you can get a punch combo going, and you've got a light attack, a heavy attack, and a grapple attack now. So you can kind of put a chain together a combo, which somebody can either counter, or actually, if they hit the same button that you did, they can actually reverse that. But they added in a new mechanic this year, and I don't know what triggers it. And that's part of what's frustrating, where it starts to go back and forth. And now it has like, okay, it'll put a little meter over your guy's head. Hold down a button until you get to the green part, then release. And that's you hit. And then, of course, that goes over there. And whoever gets more of the actual hits in will stun the other wrestler.
Okay.
And which seems like a great idea. But the problem that I've had with it is how does this get triggered? Can I cause this to happen? So you're not ready for it to happen. And you might be like, I'm hitting this button because I'm trying to do a combo on somebody. And then all of a sudden I've thrown off my first hit of this back and forth. So okay. I did notice as I've picked up a copy of it now myself that you can turn that off. And I did. Nice. I was like, as much as I think it's a neat idea that they're trying something, I just don't think it works. But that's one of the things that they can kind of, by next year, they'll have maybe perfected that just a little bit. And there's some stuff that we lose that I wish they'd bring back. Like they even have for a while that you could actually do your promo. Like, so basically when you're going out in the ring, it's like, all right, such and such, I'm going to go to that, you know, but you could make choices on, and this was years ago. You can make choices. You want to call somebody out, but you could call them to the ring. Like, we need to ally, or I want to take you down, or what you could kind of, so you could actually craft story.
Oh, that's cool.
That mechanic is gone. Now you just have these things. You have a universe mode that you can start, and you can create your own shows in universe mode. And then you can go and say, well, I want a rivalry between these two guys. That's it. And it'll just randomly have something happen, and it shifts the momentum of the rivalry, but it'll have like an event happen. I want to be able to go through and choose my own conversation things.
Yeah.
Like that I want to really have motivation. Why are we having a rivalry? What did you do? Or do I think you're the weakest champion I've ever seen? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They need to bring that mechanic back. So I have, I invent story in my head, which I've been doing since even before they had this mechanic where you could just, you just set up a match and you just play whatever match. I would do story in my own head. And because even at one point, I used to have, I think, video of this where I had in the middle of a match, my wife was out there as my manager and she got slugged. And it's like, okay, see, now we have a feud because you just hit my wife. So like now, we have bad blood. So now it's like, now I have a whole story in my head of like, oh, we're going to go.
Yes.
And then my buddy has created what this all powerful character he calls Orca. And he's like as tall as possible and big as possible. And he basically looks like a giant, orca whale.
Orca.
So,
yeah.
So we always have him. And he started creating family members like King Triton, his father, and all these different ones. And so you have like these massive army of completely unstoppable. Of course, now it actually happened in real wrestling where you have Roman Reigns, the completely unstoppable. So like, it's suddenly become a real thing in wrestling. But, having like these a big, massive villain that nobody seems to be able to stop, this reign of terror that they will capture all belts. So you can create your own story. But now, of course, I don't feel like I can do as much creative with my own story because they're setting a rivalry. But you can choose some rivalries and you can say, well, it randomly selected this rivalry and let me delete that rivalry. I want a rivalry between these two. So still in my head, I can create my own stories in the universe. And anyone who wants to watch my universe unfolding, by the way, once again, the Neverland official gaming channel, you go to a playlist called the Fandom Nexus Wrestling. Now, granted, it resets every once in a while because I have a few things and I've tried to put them by year of what game it was.
Oh.
But I've actually now kind of gotten restarted. I have a pay-per-view I need to play through. I'm going to have maybe Philip help me out with this pay-per-view because I don't know who's going to win. If I play everything, it's possible whoever I play is going to win everything. So I have to try to boost the difficulty level or have Philip play with me because then one of us is going to win. But who knows what could happen in that match? So we're working on that. That way it kind of keeps it going and keeps you guessing. But I try to, have this kind of go. And as you watch, develop your own story. What do you see happening? And I try to make things that make sense. Cause like when I first got in there, I didn't have the A team established, but Philip made the entire A team. And I didn't have, you can set up teams or whatever. It's like, well, this is a tag team or this is a stable or whatever they're, So it actually tried to have B.A. Baracus going up against Hannibal.
Okay.
Which, you're like A team, but I think I watched that one. Right. But yeah, but it didn't make sense for them to have a rivalry.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Hannibal, the leader of the A-team of the B.A. Baracus, Mr. T. So it didn't make sense for them to be butting heads. So I went through and deleted that, made sure they were all established as a team. So there's like story things. So as you sit and watch these matches, if you come in, you can kind of figure, well, what sort of story might be going on? And sometimes the rivalry is just stupid. Like it automatically put me, because I have myself in there. I'm in a rivalry with the Punisher because somebody made a really cool Punisher that looks very comic booky. I really dug it.
Oh, cool.
And I was in a rivalry with him. I was like, okay, cool. We'll just see how the story plays out. And the first match that I'm in there, I'm actually managing for this other guy. It's actually Philip's brother-in-law. It comes out and he used to work at Burger King a long, long time ago. And so he's got him in a Burger King outfit that just says King and with a crown and everything. And I came out as his manager. And spoiler warning for anyone who hasn't watched this video yet, I figure, okay, if that's me, I'm going to play as me as a manager. And I don't know what I did wrong, but I got ejected from the match from ringside.
Oh.
And because at one point, because as the manager, it's kind of fun. You can lean up against the thing and you can kind of cheer on your guy or whatever. But if you interfere and the referee sees you, he's probably going to throw you out. But I didn't even interfere with the match, but I stood up on the ringside because I was seeing what all I could do. And I'm standing on the ropes and I'm just kind of cheering, taunting for my guy. And then the referee just turns around and threw me out. And so I really couldn't do anything more. I was gone. So I just had to let the computer finish the match. So. But I don't know what I did, but I don't know what was supposed to happen that would have been a story element, because normally it would be a cutscene between me and the Punisher of why I've got a rivalry with the Punisher, other than we might have a moral thing. Like, I kind of agree where you're coming from with these bad guys that need to be punished, but what makes you the one who's supposed to be executing them? You know, we would probably have a discussion, and maybe that's happened. Invent this all in your head, folks, and then come watch why me and the Punisher having some issues.
And actually, that's interesting they bring up this whole, like, inventing your whole story, because that's something that I'm hoping will happen. And in some of the playtests I've had, this certainly has come about where when different parameters happen, it does generate this sort of story. Like, I love it when, so some of the characters, the different characters, different Imagineers can team up with one another. So let's say I'm attacking a city, and the junk golem there is really powerful. Hey, can you come and help me with this? And sure, I'll come help you. But you don't know if they're the warlord or not. Right. And I would love the dynamic of, like, oh man, that's awesome. We fought together. And then you find out later that they're playing as the warlord, and that betrayal of, like, what? I shouldn't have asked you to help me, because now you're more powerful. I have a broken
fuel line. I wonder how that happened.
Exactly. So I am hoping that those types of stories will happen as people play the game, where there will be like, oh, I'm so glad we worked together, or man, I can't believe I worked with you, or
the fact that we're all siblings, we're all heir to the throne. Only one of us can take the throne. Maybe I actually need to take all of you out, whether I'm the warlord or not. I was like, no, I'm going to defeat the warlord. Then I'm taking you three out, because I'm going to be king, not one of you three.
It's not set up like that, though. I guess you could be like,
you could do that.
You know what? I'm not going to help you now.
Sabotage everybody. Only one of us can rule this in our parents' stead.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yes. An expansion pack. This is what you do, see? One mech to rule them all.
I certainly do have ideas for expansions and whatnot, but I try not to push myself into the future too much, because we got to get this done before you worry about stuff like that.
Don't want to count the chickens before they hatch and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes.
And as we know from your podcast, you don't go to the future. You go to the past in a little fictional machine to go watch.
Exactly.
The RetroRewind.com, right? Isn't it?
RetroRewindPodcast.com.
Oh, that's right. Because I think I did when I tried to look you up on YouTube, and there is other stuff that's called Retro Rewind, because I was trying to make sure. I was like, let me watch him play this game a little bit, because I'm actually scheduled, I think, for next Saturday. I think like 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Central Time. So
it's 7 Pacific. So I think that'll be 9.
Okay. I'm 9 Central. Sure I have that on my calendar, right? But yes, so I'm scheduled to actually play this. Y'all get on YouTube. Retro Rewind, I end up doing Rewind. The Retro Rewind podcast.
That so many people do that. No worries.
When I talk fast, I don't speak well. And I tend to always talk fast, so I don't speak well most of the time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I know. I that's one of the things. When I went back to college and I was doing my radio studies, my audio studies, I had to learn to slow down. Of course, even since I've been doing this for now nearly 11 years, I listen to myself and I'm like, I talk too fast. Slow down, Jeremy. Slow down so people can understand what you say. But I get excited and I start talking fast.
I totally get that. So totally get that.
I have to control. Control.
Yes, and then, of course, definitely watch.
Get that nice.
If you're going to be recording the stream, definitely check it. Or I can send you the recording, however you want to do it. Definitely check out Jeremy playing. And hopefully.
Yeah. Well, it'll be on YouTube. Something just fell off my desk. Oh, Spider-Man just took a dump. Where? Where'd he go? Oh my goodness.
No, not Spidey.
Because I noticed
not like the spider pan.
Yeah. So those of you on the camera, you remember the Mega toys, right? Or the Mega or yeah. Mego,
not really,
Mego,
but
Mego, where they actually had actual cloth. My birthday, okay. Philip actually got me one of the old Spider-Man Mego toys from the 70s.
Cool.
He wanted to find one from 77, but he didn't quite get it. So the funny thing is like, it's got normal hands. So where he, okay. I don't know why he fell, but I've noticed that those of you who are, see, this is why you get on Patreon. So what I've been doing, and I think I've discussed this storyline a little bit on the podcast of how funny this was. This all started when I got the first Aerith figure, which was this one. And this is actually one of the ones from 1997.
Okay.
I wanted to cut the tape off the package. And Philip likes to go with all his figures. Both of us collect figures. He'll get an X-Acto knife and cut them free. So I went over there for a little bit of help. And he's been working on making a Masters of the Universe version of me and himself and some other friends. And so he had a He-Man figure that was out on the coffee table. And so I got my Aerith figure and I got the He-Man out there. And it's one of these He-Man Origins figures where you can like, he's got more flexibility. So I had him flexing, showing the muscles like, yeah, you know, welcome to the gun show. So he's flexing in front of the Aerith figure. So I started playing around. And if anybody sees me on Facebook, I found out who my real name. I took some pictures with various He-Man figures with these Aerith figures. And I was having fun with the fact that even the 40th anniversary He-Man, which is a pretty good tall figure, was even smaller than one of the first larger Aerith figures I got. But I've always taken figures with He-Man and Aerith. So then he gets me this Spider-Man Mego figure. And I realize he's about the same size as this Aerith. And I put them on the desk together and he can kind of put his arms around her and stand with her. And I said, He-Man is officially jealous because Spider-Man just got himself a new girlfriend.
Wow.
So, oh no, I made her drop her basket. So he's been standing on the shelf with this particular Aerith figure, kind of like this. And he, unfortunately, I don't know what happened, but he fell off the desk there. And so I'm going to put him back up there. So those of you watching the video can see that this is going on.
Wow.
This is the weird things that happened in my brain. And of course, I had to send a picture to Philip, like to show him. Then my wife looked at me like something's totally wrong with me. I'm like, what are you complaining about? You've been married to me for now 21 years. If you've known that there's something wrong with me, but you married me anyway. I mean, she dated me for 4 years, knew me for a few years even before that. She knew. She has no excuse.
It's really her fault.
Yeah. She knew I was going to be like this. And I might have him trade up because I've got of this particular line of they call the Crisis Core play action, or not play, play arts. I've gotten a one that's more stylized towards the 97 game that just came in, but she's busy holding her guard stick, so I don't know that I can pose Spider-Man put an arm around that one. But yeah, that's the weirdness that goes on in my world. So while you're being creative and making games, I'm playing with dolls.
We all have our passions, Joe.
We all have our passions. I got weird enough. This is actually kind of a fun story. I'm just going to go ahead and throw in here, too. So at work, I work at a television station. And we needed to make a video. They wanted us to explain kind of what our department does. And I'm in creative services. We create the ads for the local businesses. So I have some toys in my office. I have a Gumby and a couple of He-Man figures and a Spider-Man figure and stuff that are in the office. And so I made a little video using those to illustrate. One was a business owner. And along comes a Spider-Man who's going to help them make an ad. And the He-Man was their strong ad campaign. But it's Battle Armor He-Man. So he's got damage. But that's what we go through and we make edits. So I go and I fix this thing and da da da. So I thought it was funny. The big boss, I guess, didn't think it was as funny as I did. But we showed it to high schoolers that we tour high schoolers for like a career thing. They thought it was hilarious. So, but yes, so I play with my dolls at work. I even did a mock of the Spaceballs. No, I didn't see you playing with your dolls again for the end of my thing where I had a coworker come and bust in on me in my office. But I'm playing around.
That's
I was like,
awesome.
Only 9 more edits to go, He-Man. So yes, this is my weird world. And thankfully, hey, you know, y'all get this for free. So you get to put up, you don't have to pay for this wackiness unless you're a Patreon. And then a Patreon, like I said, you got to see video of this craziness, which makes a lot more sense. You can see the weird things I'm doing to poor Francisco as Spider-Man is waving at him right now. So yes, you can be a part of that to join Patreon. And hey, you can be a part of getting your own copy of Junkyard Juggernauts. Where's that website again?
Oh, so yeah, go to junkyardjuggernauts.com. We don't have it out for release yet, but if you want to, the best, the main metric I'm probably going to use, other than the game being done, being made and like completed, is are the email signups I have. So if you want to join the email newsletter, go to junkyardjuggernauts.com. Pretty much right at the top is a place to sign up for game newsletters. I do my best not to spam you, but I do try to send up regular updates about every couple weeks so that you can be in on the know, whether that's, hey, we're going to be doing playtests, would you like to be a part? Or I'm liking this. This is the new art direction. What do you think of this? Things like that. And definitely when we do a crowdfund, you will be one of the first to know on the if you're part of the newsletter.
That way you can say like, all right, I know this is how much the game is going to cost. Let me just put that money in there and say, I've crowdfunded. I want my copy of this game.
Exactly.
I want to play. So,
yes.
Which I think, again, you know, for the people who are definitely more of a hobbyist player, like they're really serious about board games, because like I said, you know, I play and where I've got most of my versions of Clue, which now that I think about it, where I do have my most of my versions, they're on the Nintendo Switch, and you've got different.
Oh,
I've even my favorite one to play with is the Sherlock Holmes one. So,
OK.
And I once again, because my brain comes up with stories and stuff, I like to play with a Sherlock, a Watson and a Moriarty. And if Moriarty solves it, then clearly he got away with it. Because we know he's the one behind the murder. Clearly.
He always is the one behind it.
But if
it,
I don't catch him, he's going to get away with it. So if I don't solve the case as Sherlock, Moriarty has got away with it. So it's definitely more fun when Moriarty is the actual murderer when you play that. But yeah,
that's fun.
That's I have to add extra things into stuff because that's my brain. So, you know, me with this board game, I'm going to do some weird, wacky things. And I probably will have a, you know, only one of us can be king or queen of our country. So. Oh, yeah.
You can definitely do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to probably take out everybody else once that warlord's dealt with them. Like, it ain't over. It ain't over. Either you all anoint me king right now, or I'm going to take your mech out. I'm not killing you because I'm not evil, and you are my sibling, but your mech is going down. I will prove my superiority.
That'd be an interesting way
to go.
There
can be only one.
How that would go.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's my weird, sick mind.
I'm not a team player. I'm a solo team player.
That's right. I love you. Now take this fire ray to the face of your mech. Or, you know.
I love you. Now kneel.
Now kneel. You know, I've got better arms attached to this. I drew the 9 cards on my arms. I can take your mech down.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. I'm taking you out. But once again, everybody can find you, of course, Retro Rewind Podcast. And I said Rewind again. Retro Rewind Podcast.com. Look y'all up on whatever you listen. Believe me, it is a lot of fun to listen to. They're wacky and goofy. And yes, you get some of the same joke, but I still laugh at it with the decepted versions of stories. And of course, even hearing the Adam Sandler, I wish this had been brought to my attention yesterday.
Yes, every time. The setup before that. Bird is the new thing that Paul always does.
Yeah, the bird thing from the Disney movie. Just always, I always loved. I still want a ringtone of that. Totally. And for those of you that don't know, because I think it's I can't remember the bird. But I can't remember. It's one of the ones that they did from Brazil, I believe, where the wacky bird shows up and does that song, isn't it? Like the
that could be. I think it's like you see it in the Three Amigos. I think is where it originally comes from. Three Caballeros. Yes. Dang it! Yes, Three Amigos is a different movie.
Yeah, different
Three
movie.
Caballeros.
Still worth watching both of them. Yeah, goofy bird or whatever. It's I don't know how the guy did the noises. It's great.
I don't know either.
It is a
what's
fantastic
crazy
thing.
Is there's a 10-hour version of that on YouTube where it just looped for like 10 hours.
I'm oh
like,
my word.
Why would anyone do this to themselves?
But it's just kind of fun because you two it's all in fun. You two just kind of quote unquote annoy each other with the things you do to each other, and it's
exactly,
hilarious.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. So yeah, y'all should go and check it out and have some, especially if you like going to talk about old movies. I've been going through like some back catalog, which makes me run even further behind on all my podcast listening. Cause I'm like, oh, they did this movie. I want to go hear what they said about this one. And some movies you have gone back and redone. I can't remember what movie it was, but you actually were playing clips of what you'd said about the movie from like a long time ago, but then you'd actually had changed your mind on some things. I think Rocketeer. I did listen to that one. Because that was one of the ones I had to go see in the theaters, because when you're going to see Jennifer Connelly in a movie, you want to see it in theater, because that way you can see her, all of her beauteous glory, and holy cow.
Totally fair.
Yes. I mean, I didn't get a chance to meet her. Her husband was actually in town to play at Comic-Con. Of course,
cool.
That's
a Paul Bettany?
Bettany. Paul Bettany. Okay. The Vision himself. Like, well done, sir, that she fell in love with you. Well done, sir. Well done. Because most of us, when we were kids and we saw Labyrinth, probably had a little bit of a crush on her. So I bet we did. Totally all fair. Us 80s, Gen X, man, we've all had a crush on her, on Jennifer Connelly. So anytime she's in a movie and you get to see her on a big screen, it's a wonderful thing. Because that's why I was like, I didn't know she was in Top Gun Maverick until we went. And I was like, hi, yay, it's nice to see you on a big screen.
Why are you spoiling for me? I haven't seen Maverick yet.
Oh, well, you totally got to see it. It was a great,
I know,
great
I
movie.
Do.
Yep.
Awesome.
And I'll even spoil it now. Heck, I would definitely recommend Godzilla Minus One. If you haven't watched that one, it's on Netflix.
I want to see that also. Yes.
I was blown away. That is the best Godzilla movie I have ever watched.
That's awesome.
I was completely cool. Even enough to where my wife, who's not really into this sort of thing, got into it because it's a very character driven movie.
Uh-huh.
You will get behind the characters. I can't say what I was going to say, but yeah.
Don't spoil anything for me. Yeah. I want to go in fresh.
All I can say is I was predicting an ending and my wife is saying I was totally wrong because no, it's not that kind of movie. And I was right. It was that kind of movie. And that's the best kind of movie. I can say it like that. It's going to be a heck of a ride and you're going to love every minute of it. It's adventure. Cool. It's got heart. And so there's the review, because I've realized that this conversation has gone on for an hour and 11 minutes. So I was like, I need to do a review in Minus Zero. Let me just throw that in real quick. That say, yes, it's on Netflix. Go and you can watch it in English, dubbed in English. And it's really well, you know, you get used to the old Kung Fu movies or old Godzilla movies that are badly dubbed. And everybody sounds ridiculous. The voiceover acting is great. I mean, it just blends right in. At some point, I'll probably come back and watch it in some original Japanese and see what the subtitles or, you know, see how much, because sometimes you have to make changes because they're trying to fit to the lips a little bit. But
yeah,
the dubbing is really good. They did a great job with the acting. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Highly recommend. Goodness sakes. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll be terrorized. I mean, I define this. It's almost like if you crash Jurassic Park with Jaws. It's like a Godzilla movie. That's Jaws, where it has that level of scares a little bit without being bloody or gory, though. Because, I mean, the original Jaws, it's not quite as terrifying as the original Jaws, but it has that level of adventure when they're out on the boat hunting for the shark. And yet the terror of like, this thing could kill us. Yeah, and the thing that can kill you this time is a giant flipping dinosaur. So, yeah, oodles of fun. Awesome. And it's nice to get back to the Japanese original intention of having Godzilla as a symbol of nuclear power and being a threat to mankind. So, definitely a wild ride. Highly recommend. There we go.
Very cool.
And then when you're done with that, go and listen to Retro Rewind Podcast, because I bet if you guys haven't done a Godzilla movie yet, you probably will. Give it another 15 years.
We have done the original 54 Godzilla and the original King Kong versus Godzilla, or maybe it's Godzilla versus King Kong, I forget. But we have done those two kaiju movies.
I kind of want to watch. I've never seen those movies, but now I should listen to the podcast just to see what y'all said about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say one of those two is definitely worth watching. The other one is not.
I'm pretty sure the 1954 Godzilla was worth watching, and the King Kong Godzilla fight thing, probably not so much. The old one.
I won't say.
Okay.
But
I've seen a little bit of the old one, and the wow, the stop motion animation does not hold up very well at all. So,
yeah.
But I have seen the more recent King Kong versus Godzilla, and I did enjoy that. I haven't gotten around to see this Fallen Kingdom movie yet, but you know. It's kind of funny. The Americans, we have our own version of Godzilla. We kind of like a heroic Godzilla, you know, without being super cheesy. Like, although I still love the super cheesy old Godzilla movies. They're silly. They're fun. So, but it's nice to have a heroic Godzilla that for one, whatever reason, tries not to harm the humans, but will defend us from every other monster. I kind of like that.
Absolutely.
So having him team up with King Kong sounds awesome. So eventually I'm going to see that. So
very cool.
But until then, it's also fun, actually. I didn't realize it would be this much fun to have a Godzilla that hates humans and will kill them. But the weird thing, he doesn't eat any humans. So that's I think they keep the gore down. I mean, it's pretty bad, but there's no blood splatters or anything like that. But no one actually gets eaten because Godzilla doesn't want to eat people. But he finds some ways. He's definitely going to kill people. So, definitely worth a watch out. And especially if you like a Jaws movie and you like a Godzilla movie. There you go. This is the one for you. And like best I said, it's got hearts. Nice. You will probably cry a few times, but you will also smile as much as you cry.
Aww.
So
yay.
There we go. Oh, and I'm poking my microphone. So there, we've had our movie review and I didn't even get to, here we go. We'll just hit that button. Oh, that's the wrong button. See, there it is. I always hit the wrong button.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
And I never know if Skype's going to let you hear that. But there we go. So there was your movie review for the podcast. So, yeah, I'll just got to record an intro onto the show and we'll call it done.
Awesome.
But thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy.
When we get close to release, we'll come on to talk about the release. Or heck, you know, we want to talk old movie. You can talk old movies over here. We do some retro stuff fun around here. So,
awesome. Oh, yes.
And y'all, I think that's the episode cool. with me is going to be released, I think, next week.
I'm hoping this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
This coming Wednesday. And June. We will be discussing Iron Man and how much we just absolutely hated Iron Man. Yeah, if you think we're wrong, you better come and listen.
Why would anyone watch that?
Yeah. And if you think we're wrong, well, you better just download it and find out what's wrong with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Comment with, I don't know on what app, there's all the podcast apps. That's one good thing about YouTube, that there's like one place you could say, go comment here. But with podcasting, it just depends on your podcast player. But regardless,
You can comment on the YouTube video. It is up on YouTube already. So you can watch an unedited.
You could watch.
If you want to see my ugly mug, you know. Although we did have somebody who in your audience that did like the sound of my voice, but you already knew how good that sounds because you've been listening to me for 11 years, haven't you?
So, Oh, yes.
And it is all due to this nice RE20 makes me sound so good. So yes, which I've said many times. You're welcome. I bought a new microphone just so you could hear me. Okay. Before this show gets any weirder, let's wrap this up. Okay, so let's wrap this show up here by reminding you about Podgagement, which you can find out about at neverlandpodcast.com. There's a big link for that. And for Dubby, because I got to tell you about Dubby, if you're a gamer and you want a good energy drink that doesn't give you the jitters, so they have lots of drink mixes, a lot of the things for you to order. Make sure you use my links there so you get a discount. And also, of course, I get a little kickback, so it's always great. And then Podgagement, you can find out about there. That is Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic. Golly, there's so much stuff. It's hard to explain what all it does. There's so much fun stuff he's got in there that will improve your life. If you happen to have a podcast, we're getting your reviews and all. He's adding so much stuff that I'm trying to learn how to use. It is fantastic. He's doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful service. And you will not regret it if you're a podcaster or you're a content creator at all. I think you'll find something useful over at Podgagement. So while you're visiting NeverlandPodcast.com, we want to remind you to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show, who helped me out with creating that intro. And I thank them every week and try to get you to go and listen to their shows. Although Karen Kennedy doesn't have a show, but Ricky Pope does for Christian Nerds Unite. And then, of course, the Will Height and Wall Show. If you happen to have their show in your local area on radio, it is a syndicated radio show. When I worked in radio, we had their show there. Don't forget, you can email us podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on X, Neverland PCast. Also, we are on Facebook. We have a fan page and a group. Lots of interactivity going on in the group. I've been sharing a lot of fun stuff I've been finding about some old movies. Lots of fun information. A lot of great things going on there. So make sure you do. And of course, do not forget about the Red Circle exclusive membership, which you can find. You can find out about that there in your show notes, right there on your phone. And also, of course, it'll be on the website when you look at the notes. You know, you can find the show notes there for that particular episodes. And don't forget about Patreon, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. Fun video and extra stuff, extra content of some shows. I don't always have extra content, but when I do, if you want to be able to get it, you got to be a patron. And I'll try to make some more extra content for y'all. But until we see each other again, get lost in an adventure. And I will see you next time.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.